Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that. We
need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy!
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text sex regrets or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of questions from a couple of different listeners.
Ooh.
Well, well, well. That's a fun voice. I feel like I could be in a Popeyes commercial. Like a little bit like, you know, it's like the new two-piece bucket. You know, like I had that kind of feel to it, I think it felt like to me.
Two-piece bucket made out of, the bucket itself is made out of biscuits.
Oh, God, that would be delicious.
That's actually, you've heard of bread bowls. Why don't we have biscuit buckets?
Biscuit buckets. What would buy? Let's go on Shark Tank immediately. And they'll be like, why are you contributing to the obesity epidemic?
Well, because...
Because why not enjoy the time
hungry.
You have on this planet?
Because
by
we're hungry and we love biscuits.
Biscuits.
Yeah, we have so much stuff. This intro is jam-packed.
Right. Right, we got
a great episode today, so
sure.
I want to launch right into it. First of all, Naomi, someone called in with a comment. Do you remember last week's episode with Zoe Lister-Jones?
Absolutely, I never forget.
I'm not gonna say anything more, but we got up to some hijinks in that intro, and someone called in to comment.
Andy and Naomi, this is longtime listener Natasha from North Carolina. While I don't have a very pronounced Southern accent, the way we say Marlboro is as if both parts of the word have the letter L. So Marlboro. Marlboro. You gotta love regional pronunciations. Am I right? Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, that was wonderful. I did say I wanted someone to tell me how to pronounce it.
Marlboro.
Marlboro. Still not getting it right, but I really heard it when you said it. So thank you so much. Also, your voice was buttery as well.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a little radio happening?
Yeah. How about I send you all of my lines? You say them and I'll then edit them back into
the episode? Yeah, definitely.
So also, do you remember in Zoe's episode, someone called in and their friend is 19. They have a fake ID.
Yes, they got them hooked up with a fake ID, and now they out here just drunk as a skunk.
Well, another caller called in with a comment and had some thoughts that maybe we didn't think of.
Okay.
So here we go.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. First off, I love this show so much. That was an alarm on my phone. But I just am responding to the caller who has a friend that has some issues with binge drinking. That's a dong in the background. So sorry. I myself have been through that a lot. When I was younger, it wasn't until I was about 32 that I really got a hold of my binge drinking. For some folks, there's actually a part of the brain called the nucleus accumbens that kind of lights up when it has alcohol and you kind of lose your inhibition and lots of stuff happens. Okay. Well, this was a wash, but anyway, maybe they could figure out together. Oh, my dog's acting a fool. Maybe they could figure out together what this person's limit is by saying, like, okay, we're going to have one drink an hour. We're going to have water in between. Things that worked for me were those things. So good luck.
It was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear more from the dog.
Mabel like started reacting.
I know. Mabel also growled a bit when she heard that. She was like, wait a minute. Who's here?
But thank you so much for that feedback on the question.
The dog just kept jumping into the conversation.
I know.
Okay, and now we got two updates, Naomi.
Updates.
People we gave advice to. This first one from Zoe's episode.
We love it.
This was from the person who was in a poly relationship that ended and they were still living together. Hello, this is not worth a follow-up phone call yet, but I just listened to myself get some really great advice on Zoe's episode. I'm the person whose poly relationship ended, still living with the ex-partner and finding nothing. And I think, in the most beautiful way possible, you all confirmed I'm not ready. I'm having a great time by myself. I'm in a new city where I've joined a choir and a dance class, and I'm meeting people on Bumble BFF, which is a friendship app. And I have so much time and energy for all of that. But listening to Naomi suggest just trying someone out for a coffee and a cupcake was exhausting in itself. I don't think I'm ready. But when I have the spoons to try out someone romantically who hasn't absolutely bowled me over with the profile, I will re-listen and try it out. Thank you so much. That really helped.
We love that. We love that. And sometimes you just got to hear it to be like, ugh, there's nothing I hate more. It's like when you're like, I don't know, what do you want for dinner? And then someone says something and you're like, not Thai. You know, like whatever it is. Like, so you start to kind of whittle it down by elimination. So
yeah,
I'm glad. I'm glad.
I want stuffed crust burgers.
Stuffed crust burgers.
Ugh, that's too far. Stuffed crust anything is too far for me.
I know. I don't like a stuffed crust.
Now, Naomi, I think this was maybe Rivers episode. I can't remember. It was a bunch back. There was a woman. She was in a relationship with another woman. She thought that woman was her everything. And then there was an older lesbian couple.
It was like A and M.
There were a lot
A-B.
Of like initials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she has called in with an
wow.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and guest. So I just feel like I should call and try to redeem myself a bit. This is, I don't even know what I left as a name because it was such a mess. But I called about that whole messy situation. It was very vulgar. I was very high and not well. But a year has gone by and I just thought it would be interesting to update. You totally don't have to play this. But things are amazing. I really needed to just get therapy and not call into a podcast. So I did that. Now I'm medicated. Great things are happening. Let go of all that anger. So I just wanted to say, in case anyone's listening and has been cheated on or hurt or in a weird situation, that like, it gets better. I know that's really cliche and dumb, but just like focus on yourself. And that's the only thing you can do. Don't get engaged at 23. And also as an update with that situation with the older friends, we are no longer friends, really. I kind of started, I didn't ghost them, but I addressed boundaries and they weren't really respected. They also ended up dating a 20-year-old and they're 40. And I told them I was very uncomfortable with that. And yeah, so don't, if you're in your 20s and someone's in their 40s, it's not appropriate. So I just wanted to give a little update. I'm doing great. Thank you guys for not making fun of me very badly. Have a good day.
Doing great. On medication, doing great. I love those kind of updates.
I'm going to say this. Go to therapy. Get on medication if you need it. Also call into a podcast.
Absolutely. Also. It is a three-pronged approach.
Specifically
okay?
Specifically
this one.
Us. But that's absolutely great. I love to hear that people are
thriving.
I know.
We love it. It's so funny. Well, Andy, I feel like I'm in a good place emotionally now, feeling as though our work is not for naught.
Yeah. So why don't we help some more people? Who is our guest today?
Well, our guest is the host of the podcast Natch Butte, Jackie Johnson. We were recently on hers. We had a fun crossover afternoon where we just got into it. And we got a little interesting tidbits out of Jackie.
Yeah. And this is great. She's great. So without any further ado, roll it. Jackie, we met you at a party and were charmed.
Can I say that? I'm really good at first impressions.
It was a delight talking to you and your husband. And when, full transparency, when Sarah, our friend at ACAST, suggested that we cross over, I was like, oh yeah, we met Jackie. She's great. So
that's what Andy said.
I'm happy that we got brought together. It was the universe. We have so many Muchis. It was about time.
It was so unexpected. Now, Jackie, though, okay, let's talk about this. Okay, let's get direct. Okay.
Yeah.
You're a hot girl. You're like, I'm a white woman. I'm like alabaster. I'm slender. I'm pregnant, but it just looks like I ate a big meal. But the way you talk belies your appearance, if you will. It's a very different vibe. Yeah, I'm sure you have.
I've been told that.
It's a very different vibe. And so I was kind of like, what's going on here? Where did you grow up?
Yeah.
What's happening to make you both like, I'm hot and fancy, but also like, maybe I'm from the Jersey part of the South.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I wonder if you would call Garland, Texas, the Jersey of the South. I wonder
what's
if
going
that
on there. Well, Garland, Texas is not one of the main cities, so I'm already concerned.
So I'm from Garland, Texas. Garland is a suburb of Dallas. If you've ever seen King of the Hill, they live in Arland, Texas, which is based on my hometown.
Okay.
My father is Hank Hill. My father wears a white t-shirt and jeans and has a beer belly and like drinks Coors Light and looks at the lake with his friends. Like that's my culture.
Yeah. Yeah,
I actually have Laotian neighbors, just like the hills.
So you literally grew up in King of the Hill.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. My mother lives in a single wide. That's my vibe. I hope that answers your question.
It does. It does in a way. But obviously you were a girl with big dreams beyond Garland, Texas. Mm-hmm.
That's right. We all left our hometowns for a reason, didn't we?
Damn, you really put on your interviewer's cap.
I know. I was forced to leave my hometown. I'm from New York. Nobody wants to leave there unless they're just like, I'm too broke right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only reason why you leave New York. You either like are like, oh, I was mugged or attacked and I'm done. Or you're like, I don't have this money. And I'm like, okay, those are two valuable reasons.
Yeah. So then you go to L.A., which is known for their frugal way of life.
God, what a sick town. Don't get me started. This is a terrible place.
Yes, we try not to bash L.A.
Yeah.
On recorded media, we used to have an LA hate jar where every time we would say something hateful about this town, we would have to put a dollar in the hate jar and then we would donate that to at the end of the year.
LA Food Bank.
Sila,
I think, was our thing.
Yeah, we did Sila. Yeah.
I don't know what it says about me that I've been in LA 16 years and I just bought a home here. So I hate LA, but I'm buying into it. It's fair to say. So what does that say about me?
Well, the fact is I want to buy into it. I think I might like it more if I, like, because again, once I realize we just live in the suburbs, if I'm going to be in the suburbs, I need to be in a nice suburbs. I need, you know, what I feel like I have right now is the worst of both worlds, which is the quietness and creepiness and inability to get a meal after 9:30, like the suburbs, you know, I mean, like. The suburb, but at the same time, you have all the sketch, danger, broken glass, and used condoms of a city, and that I don't really need. That's not what I'm here for.
No, we gotta get y'all inward a little more.
I know. Now, Jackie, you said when we came to visit you on your podcast, Natch Butte.
Yeah,
you mentioned having been married once before.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing I noticed. I looked at your gram real quick, and you posted a picture recently where you were like recreating my 2020 or 2019 picture on Raya.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Raya? Can we talk about also the speed with which you found your now husband?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Because
I was on a mission.
Exactly. And also Raya. So consider you King of the Hill, you Raya too.
Yeah.
So that's exactly the perfect explanation of who you are.
Yes. Well, I was honestly shocked that I was approved on Raya because a ton of my friends had said they were on wait lists for years. And these are friends with Emmys. These are friends with huge careers. Like, I didn't know if they would approve me. And they did. And I was shocked. And I kind of went into it. I had been with my ex for 8 years. I had been completely off the dating scene. I didn't know anything about apps. I missed all that. I missed the Tinders, the Swindlers, the Grinders, Winders. I missed it all.
Absolutely.
So when they approved me on Raya, I was like, well, this might be fun. I'm just going to fuck around on here. But I really, truly, to be honest, got on Raya in hopes of running into Ben.
Because
I kind of made it my mission to go out with him.
Wait, okay,
no!
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go back a little bit. When did you meet Ben?
Okay, so I met Ben in 2013 at a party. I was with my ex, and we barely spoke. I mean, he sat down next to me. We talked for maybe 15 minutes, but I just got a good vibe. And I believe at the time he did ask my friend about me and she was like, she lives with her boyfriend. And then Ben was like, oh, well, then she was he thought I was flirting with him to try and get in a Funny or Die video because he used to be a Funny or Die producer. And I'm like a Funny or Die video hoe. Like he's like, oh, she's trying to get in my Four Loko sponsored video and get $100 for 15 hours of work. Like that's what he thought.
Yeah.
But then I followed him and then we just were acquaintances for many years.
But you mean followed him on social media?
Yeah, exactly. I followed him in my car a few times, but he didn't see me. Uh-huh, that's the key. You got to be slick about it.
Safe distance, yeah.
Yes. But no, he was at parties every once in a while. We always would have a chat. I just thought he was cute and I was fond of him, but I didn't know my marriage was going to end. I really, truly had no clue. Mm-hmm. But when it did, I swear at one point he flashed in my head. Like, I was just like, I wonder if Ben Sheehan has a girlfriend. I didn't know.
What?
If he was seeing anyone, I didn't know what his deal was, but I was just like, if he's single, I'm gonna try.
Can I interrupt?
I'm gonna try. Yeah.
How long after the divorce
did that
flash in your head?
Well, I was still married. We were separated. So
okay.
Not long.
Uh-huh.
Not long. But I was, you know, I had a pretty traumatic divorce. And I now know that it's called hypervigilance. It's a post-traumatic stress syndrome where you just want everything to be fixed and you would do everything, you know. So I was like, I'm going to therapy twice a week. I'm going to get a husband. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to get married. I'm not going to let this stop me. Because that's what happens sometimes when you go through something traumatic. You're on the ground and you open your eyes. And I saw what I wanted. I saw a family. I saw a house. I saw a husband. I was like, oh, shit, I do want kids. I do want this. I had convinced myself I didn't because I just knew I didn't want to have kids with my first husband. My body knew, you know?
Mm.
So I was just like, well, I'm going to find a husband. I'm going to get it popping. I was 34. I'm like, it's time.
How old were you when you met the first, when you started a relationship with the first guy?
25.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and so I would say I was a young 25 as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's quite a long time.
Yeah.
Really formative years of a woman's life, 25 to 34.
But then, I guess that's what I'm surprised by, that you then get out of that time and you're finally free to do your own thing, kind of be like, okay, what do I like? What am I about? But it sounds like you pretty quickly were like fixed on your now husband.
Yeah.
And being in another relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I didn't really plan that. I just was like, I went to South By. My podcast was at South By that year. And I was on the plane there with Beto O'Rourke. So okay. I took a photo with Beto and then I texted it to Ben. Because he's into politics.
Of course,
He had a photo with Beto. I think he actually did a fundraiser with him. So I was like, this is my in. I'm going to just chat him up. I'm just going to see if he has a girlfriend, like whatever.
Beto O'Rourke have his skateboard with him?
On the plane. He did not, but that's disappointing, isn't it? But I just texted him and I was like, maybe we could get lunch. And we've had this conversation now. He's like, I thought that was really interesting. We've never had lunch. We've never hung out, the two of us, you know? But I also, at that time, I had submitted myself for Raya and they let me on. And I fucked around on Rye a little bit. I went on some dates, but I really, really got on there just to see if I would run into Ben, like 100%. I wasn't ready. I don't think I was ready to date. I would go on a date with a guy in Raya, and I would start getting like really sweaty and nervous, and I would be like, I gotta go. Like, I just wasn't ready. But yeah. Ben is my soulmate. Like, and I just, again, didn't know that. I didn't know any of that at the time. And we went out a couple times, and I was like, wow, that felt great. But my instincts had been gaslit out of me for 8 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was feeling, and it seemed a little too easy. So I was just like, you know what? Slow this down. You know, you got a lot of work to do on yourself. And I was convinced that it was all in my head, but Ben did a really good job of affirming how I was feeling. He was like, this feels really special. This feels really great. And I'm like, oh, so it's not just me? I'm not, you know, and he's like, no, this is really nice. Like,
so what is this, 2019 though? I'm trying to get the timeline.
2019, yeah.
Okay, all right. And how quickly was he like, this is nice, affirming?
Pretty quickly, okay. Yeah. And again, that can be a red flag.
Yes, you got
it.
Yes.
So I don't think it was too early. It wasn't like the first date, but we just really stayed in communication. I was in, again, therapy twice a week still. I was like, listen, I know this is early, and this is, you know, a thing. And I talked to my therapist a lot about it, and she was like, you know, you were honestly grieving your first marriage while you were in it. I didn't even know that I was. I mean, I used to, this is dark, but I know other people have done this. I would, like, have visions of my ex's funeral. Like, oof. I would have visions of getting the call that, like, oh, he's been in a car accident or something. Isn't that fucked up?
No, it's, I mean, yeah, it's, I think that's like a regular response. Like, when I was in, this is not the same thing, but when I was in grad school and my body was trying to tell me that, like, you don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
I would have these visions of, like, people, like, shooting me with arrows and guns. I would go running at night or in the evening. And that's the visions that would go through my head. And I'm like, why am I, and only, like, later am I like, oh, right, you were trying, like, something inside you would be like, this experience you're going through is not what you want to be doing. It's
killing
awful.
You. Yeah. It's killing you. Yeah.
Yes. And I couldn't, like, vocalize that or verbalize that. So it just came in these, like, images in my head.
I know. My therapist said it was, I wanted to leave. I wanted to escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, do you mind if I ask, like, tell whatever you're comfortable talking about, but, like, what happened with your first husband? This person was, like, a comedian or something?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell her name.
It's too dark to really get into here, but it was bad. It was real bad. And I didn't know it was bad, you know? Mm. Like, it's one of those things that, you know, I was saying my parents are like Hank Hill. The mental health of the Hills is not really what they're known for. They're not known for being supportive parents that really nurtured their children's mental health. So I just grew up not realizing boundaries, not knowing that I could truly be happy. I feel like I just, like I said, I was 25. I desperately wanted to be married because my parents' marriage was so bad that I was like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. See what I got? I got a good marriage, okay? So I didn't even know it was bad. And I just put up with it. Because I was like, that's what marriage is, right? It's just not fun and you're unhappy and you're treated like crap and you're walked all over and gaslit.
Yeah,
and like, you know, all that. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it wasn't good.
And then was it you, though? Were you the person who initiated ending the marriage?
Yes.
Okay. And was that through, were you doing therapy at that time? Is that kind of what got you there?
You know, it's interesting. The only couples therapy I've ever done was one session with my ex. Where he lied to all of us in the room. Like,
oh, God.
It was, you know.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So I was when we were talking about doing couples therapy, I was like, couples therapy, I've only been in one couples therapy session. And it was interesting.
But that couples therapy session, is that when, were you guys ending the marriage at that point?
Yeah.
Or was this when you were like, let's work it out. Okay.
I tried to get him to go many times and he would not go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
But
huge red flag. Okay.
Yeah.
When you can't get a man, honey. Oh, I say a man who doesn't go to therapy is a terrorist. Okay?
Yes. No, 100%. Strong,
but it's like when you actively choose not to work on yourself and you know you got, you know you out here.
Yes.
How dare you? Yes. How dare you?
The CIA is filled with men who did not go to therapy.
Absolutely. Yes. They're trying to control everything else. What'd you say? Hypervigilance?
Yep.
This is it. When you're not handling the trauma.
Yes.
Okay, so basically, so yeah, your therapist having kind of saying like you were kind of already out when you were in at the tail end, which is why then once you finally got with Ben, not necessarily ready, but it's like.
Well, it was hard. Getting over a bad marriage while entering a new relationship, I don't recommend that to people. It's not easy. It was not, but it just, that's the timing of it. And it is what it is. Now, I'm not saying like they crossed each other in the driveway with their boxes. No. It wasn't that soon. But it was certainly early.
Yeah.
And, but again, I had grieved a lot. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was convinced that I was running out of time, and which is, again, very silly. But it all worked out, I'll say that.
It did. But at the same time, like, wait, because you were like, okay, I really want to have a family and I really want kids. Like, I don't know. I guess what I don't know, even know what I'm trying to ask. Andrew, you have a question? Because I don't know.
I have a question. I'm curious about like your dating history prior to your ex.
Yeah.
Is it, were you dating the same kind of guys?
Yeah.
So it's all the same kind of like.
Well, it was not good. Yeah. So I won't even say his name. But my boyfriend before my ex-husband has now been canceled from the comedy world for like assault and abuse.
Okay.
Not a good guy. So I went from that to my ex within 5 months. Mm-hmm. And he looked great compared to that guy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just really needed to do the work that I had been neglecting my entire life.
Yeah.
And really knowing my own, first of all, recognizing red flags, putting up boundaries. Why was I attracting this type of person? Why was I attracting like manipulative, abusing narcissists?
Right.
I had to figure that shit out. And I finally did.
Do you mind if I ask? Why
were
you?
Yeah. Why were you attracting manipulative, abusive narcissists?
Well, again, it would come back to childhood, wouldn't it? It would come back to the home you were raised in and the people around you,
and you're used to,
and those kind of issues, you know. There's people that have addictions, and growing up in a home like that, you as a child, those are the behaviors that are normalized in front of you, and just that's all I can think of. Just all of those things. And my parents were divorced and they openly hated each other. And nobody gave a shit, really. Like, that's what it felt like. It just felt like we were on our own the whole time. And
the kids,
so
the kids.
Yeah. So I just grew up being like, well, needs? What are those? You know?
Yeah.
And so I've always been extremely self-sufficient in that way. And the concept of like somebody fulfilling needs and like listening to what you need and help, like that just never existed. I didn't even know that was a thing, which is great, you know. Listen.
Well, no, I
pretty
mean,
wild, huh?
Yeah. But like, I mean, I think that's I think your story is somewhat typical.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You didn't like, this isn't like, you're telling us something where I'm like blown away. Like you're not weird is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. But I also feel a lot of people from our same age group, especially like growing up in the 90s in Texas, that's not what our parents did. Our parents didn't say, are you okay?
Right.
Do you want to talk to someone?
Right.
That's not what they did. So yeah, you're right. I'm not alone in that way.
Now, so you and your now husband got together in March 2019-ish. When did you guys get married? Right? Because we talked about this, like, pandemic? Like, you know what I mean? Like, was it, like, right before, during the pandemic?
We started dating in, like, May of 2019. We got engaged May 2020. We got married February 2021.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a shotgun wedding. It wasn't married 3 months after we started. Like, so, you know, I would say I put in a decent amount of time.
It was a knife wedding.
It was a knife, yes. Fair.
But fair. I guess what I wonder is, as you said, yes, you did do the work, but there's a difference between doing internal work and then putting that internal work into practice.
Yes, 100%. Right?
Mm-hmm. And so and one of the things that I'm always very interested in with people is like kind of like, how do you know when the person you're with is your person?
Yeah.
I think especially when, as you said, you know, you have been gaslit, you have, mm-hmm. you know, not really seen the modeling of what a good relationship is, because that's certainly something that for me, it took me a while with me and Andy. Like, I was constantly just like questioning it and second guessing it and very like, you know, and also because this was the longest relationship I've been in. So basically once we hit after eight months, it was officially the longest relationship I'd ever been in. So I also, you know, there were things I just didn't know until I was with somebody long enough. And when I started living with somebody, it's sort of like, it's like you don't know your deal breakers until you're kind of in it.
Right.
And so I guess that's what I'm sort of wondering, you know, in that process of being together. And then, of course, monkey wrench pandemic thrown in.
Yes.
You know, when you start being with somebody early on, you know, what was that learning curve like and how quickly did that come?
So I've always been, to a fault, non-confrontational, passive aggressive. Which again comes from having a chaotic home as a kid. All you want is for shit to not be crazy, and you don't want the attention on you, so you just keep things copacetic, you ignore things. So I worked so actively on not doing that. I would call out any pink flag, any magenta flag, any flag with a flush of blush, I would call out. And it was not easy. And I would cry. I would literally like sit in front of Ben and my eyes would just start streaming. And I'd be like, I know, I'm sorry. This is hard for me, but I need to ask you something. Like, and he would be really sweet and understanding and we would communicate. And that was a lesson for me. And again, expressing my needs. And I would say, because I was always like, oh, I don't want to be the crazy one. I don't want to. But I just said, no, I'm not being crazy. These are needs. It's valid of me to have these needs. I need you to talk to me about this. I need assurance, whatever it is. And he would provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also building true intimacy, which again, I realized through therapy, I did not have in my first marriage at all. Honestly, I don't even know if I've ever had it. I thought I did, but I didn't. So building true intimacy with Ben was something that I worked very hard on. And if someone's interested in that, literally Google building intimacy. Like, because that's where I started. My therapist was talking to me about it. And I'm just like, how do you build intimacy? I don't even know what you do. Like, so I would just really actively work on that as well.
Wait, how do you?
Yeah, tell us how.
Yeah.
Tell us how. We'll take some notes.
Well, how do we build intimacy? It's interesting. Again, it's a dance. Because if you go too quick, it's a red flag. It could be detrimental. So you don't want to say on the first date, my mother never loved me. And then you bond, trauma bond, whatever. Like,
right.
But it's about building respect for each other, building your trust with each other, being vulnerable and expressing the vulnerability and sharing those moments of vulnerability and understanding each other. I know it sounds very vague, but
I get that.
Yeah, it's a process. And it's funny. I'm actually working on a show right now about how to get a second husband. And I cover a lot of this in it. And because people always say, you know, how'd you do this? How, whatever. And I was like, when do you cry in front of the person you're dating for the first time? Mm-hmm. What is that nuance time? I say 1 to 2 months. That's what I think. As an expert, but it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. But I feel like building intimacy, you build up to the crying.
I see what you're
saying. You don't just cry on the first date and tell him everything that happened to you and, you know, get... You build up to the crying.
Right. So you're saying like date 11.
Yeah.
That's known as the crying date.
The crying date. I like that. Now that's a movie we should have made.
The crying
instead
date.
Instead of the other one, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, by 11, you should. Yeah, I see. Well, I think that is the difference, Naomi, between with you and me, but and all my other relationships was that, like, we did do that stuff. we are vulnerable around each other in a way that I wasn't with other women.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I certainly didn't wait. I didn't wait to cry. You know what I mean? Like, it was V tumultuous. Yeah. We say this a lot on the pod, so we don't need to get into it, but it was V tumultuous early on.
Yeah.
But I will say, yeah, and I think, like, it is interesting because I will say that, like, having that intimacy is what I value the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea of another human is like really kind of turns my stomach. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like the idea, like being with somebody, I was like, like, or when you said that, like, you know, when you're talking about, like, you know, having visions of your ex's funeral, I can't even allow the concept of Andrew not living forever. Do you know what I mean? Or like living longer than me. It makes me very upset immediately. That's how I know that I love him.
I was folding Ben's underwear last night. And we take turns doing laundry. We're very, you know, equal. And I remember being like, imagine if he's gone and I see this. I like started crying. I am a hormonal pregnant lady. I am pregnant right now. But I was just like, oh my God, he can't leave ever. He can't go anywhere. Like, I'm like, he can't not be alive while I'm looking at these underwear. It was like stressing me out, the thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got to go first. I can't handle. It's got to be me that goes first. I won't be able to handle
the other way. I can't even say it. I know. No. We can't even say it.
It's not going to happen.
That's why I'm like trying to eat better so that I don't go first.
What if we're racing to be healthier so that we force like.
Yeah. Hey, That's a beautiful reason to take your health into your hands.
I don't want him to have to wipe my butt.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I am definitely going to be the way we live now, I will be the first one to need assistance.
The wiping, yeah.
I will need assistance, mm-hmm. and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. I would do that.
You would. I know you would, and that's beautiful, because I feel like, you know, you've damn near done it several times now.
Yeah.
Up to now, you know, in terms of, like, getting me out of bed. Getting me together, well, yes. You know?
Her back, our mattress is terrible.
Mm. Oh, and also depression.
Oh.
So two reasons sometimes.
We got to get you a topper. I just got a new mattress topper. It changed
girl,
the game.
I bought a top. Nope.
Yeah,
I bought
a topper.
The topper did
when
not
I tell
work.
You I bought three toppers.
Yeah.
One I had to donate after I used it. The other one I was able to return. The other one we kept on the bed and actually realized it was terrible. Can we get into questions?
Wait. There's a couple of more things I'm curious about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jackie. Okay.
Because Ben is Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And you have converted since.
Yes.
Right? Was that a discussion at all?
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Absolutely.
Did you want to?
Or was this project husband, I will do what it takes?
Did you feel something inside where you, like, found out about it? Or was it like, oh, well, his family wants me to be Jewish?
Oh, no. They absolutely did not care or pressure me in any way. Ben did not either. It was more so that I love having a spiritual practice in my life, but I have always felt that the current one that I was brought up in, which is Catholicism, just didn't suit me. So I was very interested in something else. And Reform Judaism to me absolutely ticks all the boxes because there's a lot of the same elements, but also some of the things I don't like about Christianity and Catholicism are removed. Some of those being rabbis can be women. Mm-hmm. Rabbis can have families and they can fuck. And I love that in Judaism, fucking is great and celebrated and discussed. You aren't shamed about it because that was what I grew up in, was the sex shamey culture of just you're going to hell if somebody fingers you, and then the shame that all women feel. And I hated that. So that is absolutely removed in Reform Judaism. And I also just love that there is no hell and brimstone and shaming and scaring people.
And no wafers.
And no wafers.
No dry ass wafers.
No dry ass wafers. So all of those things, they appealed to me. And really what it came down to was, again, I told Ben I wanted children. He said he wanted children. And he said, I do want to raise my children Jewish. And I said, that's fine. That's wonderful. Then I want to be a part of it. Because I felt personally, I didn't want them to be like, well, why doesn't mommy believe what we believe? Why doesn't mommy do what we do? I felt it would be a disconnect for me to be like, okay, y'all go to temple. I'm going to stay home and watch Drag Race.
That sounds great.
Or you're going to do your bar mitzvah and I won't be able to stand on the stage and hold the Torah and pass it to you. I wanted to be involved. And so that was something he discussed with me. And so I said, well, then I want to convert. I want to be involved. They didn't pressure me at all. They weren't expecting me to at all. It was a little icing on the cake that is getting me as a daughter-in-law, you know? And I'm so happy that I did it. It absolutely fulfilled what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And I've had the most wonderful time being a Jewess.
Yeah, you went from shiksa to mikvah.
Yes,
we love it.
I mikvahed in the river in Austin, naked.
Oh, yeah, that's, okay, yes, that's the story I remember.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Wait, how cold was it?
Well, this was a few days before the freeze, which is why we had to move it up. So it wasn't, it was cold, but it wasn't cold enough to where I was going to die or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were comfortable going into any river naked for any reason?
I've been extremely never nude my whole life.
Oh, really?
But I actually dropped that. I got rid of it. And I walk around naked and like do pelvic thrusts with my pregnant belly like every night now. I just got over that. So nobody saw me though.
What do you mean?
Everybody turn around when I got in my mikvah water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, how many people were there?
15. No, I'm just kidding. the rabbi and two of her assistants and Ben and me. But we were in a public park and there were people around, but we waited for them to kind of walk away. And there were some dogs swimming in the water, which I actually felt better about.
Are they now Jewish?
They are, yeah, by default, yeah.
This is our schnauzer, Moisha. In my head, when you were talking about you watching Drag Race while the rest of the family went to temple, I was imagining you eating wafers, eating communion wafers like Pringles.
Dipping them in my wine.
All right, that was all. That's what I was curious
about. No, that was
about.
Very good. I'm glad you remembered that. That is very important. That was very important, Andrew.
Because we talked about it at the party, but I never got the real details.
Right.
And so, like, I was very curious about it.
This is a rich tapestry.
You thought about it.
Yeah, I thought about it. Jackie said it wasn't that hard, but I think why I'm hesitant is because I don't really feel a connection to religion. So I was like, I don't know if I'm just doing it. Even though I will say, there are elements of Judaism. Like, I think I particularly appreciate the way Judaism handles death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, really, really prefer that over the experiences I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am like, I don't know. I could do it. I just feel so busy as it is.
Yeah. It's work for sure. I should give you my book. I had this woman, Sarah Hurwitz, on Attribute. She wrote this beautiful book, Here All Along, and it's all about rediscovering her Judaism as an adult, and it's so beautiful. It talks a lot about, there's a whole chapter on the death rituals. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely book, and it's the first book I read before converting, and it's just such a beautiful, lovely religion, and I know you're Reformed too, right, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful religion, and I'm so happy that it worked out. I feel like I'd always been super curious about Judaism as well. And we'll get into some LA hippie bullshit. I have seen two different psychics in my life that have told me that I lived during Egyptian times. Two different ones, different time periods. And I assumed that I was like an Egyptian, you know, beautiful Egyptian woman. But now I know that I was Jewish. I was an Israelite. And that I was on Mount Sinai with Ben.
What?
With his family. We were all there. Andy, you were there. When Moses comes down. That's where I was in Egyptian times.
This is wild.
Isn't that interesting?
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is another plane. I can't grasp it, but I love it for you.
I got to ask you. What was manna like? What was manna like?
Okay, Teddy, can we please get to questions?
Yeah. Why don't we ask some questions? We'll take a quick break, though. And when we get back, we're going to answer some of your advice questions.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in heather gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought, it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable.
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
And we're back with Jackie Johnson, brand new Shiksa. Hold on.
Sorry, our dog got up on top of the ottoman.
Oh, what were you thinking?
She want me to take her somewhere. I can't, Maybelline. I got to record, okay? I got
to record. Our dog was on top of the ottoman.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Jackie, we get questions from our listeners through all kinds of means, through voicemail, DMs on Twitter and Instagram, Gmail. This first one comes to us from the gram itself, anonymously.
Oh, scary.
Hi, Andy, Naomi, esteemed guest, that's you, and fur babies. I am a huge fan of the show and a longtime listener and first-time advice seeker. I would like to remain anonymous if possible. Well, you got your wish. Here is some background context. I work on a remote team with colleagues in different cities across the U.S. I have always tried to create a safe space and a tumultuous work environment for everyone on the team. I have also never met any of my teammates in person because I started this position during the pandemic.
Oof.
I have suspected that one of my peers has had feelings for me for a while. I like this person as a friend and colleague and want to maintain a friendship and positive working relationship with this person. Last night, the person confirmed that he has feelings for me and would drop everything to be with me if he had a reasonable chance.
Oh, my God.
I have been happily married for almost the last 4 years, together with my husband for the last 13.
Okay.
I thanked this person for his honesty. I felt like it was really brave for someone to honestly wear their feelings on their sleeve and outwardly express them. I told him I wouldn't be leaving my husband and that I want to remain on good terms with this person as friends and coworkers. Oh. We are not in the same city and would not share an office post-pandemic. But what do I do now? Do I tell my husband about this? And if so, what do I tell them? Also, what else do I tell my coworker with the feelings? Please let me know if you have any follow-up questions. Any advice or analysis to help me process the situation is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Blushing smiley emoji.
Oh my God. That I don't know if I have an answer.
Wow.
This is the first time I've been truly stumped.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. 200 episodes stumped. Finally.
I know. Normally I know, you know, normally I come in hot. I have judged quickly. I
have opinions.
And harshly.
Yeah.
But this time I really don't know. Jackie, what do you think?
My initial thoughts are, as women, I'm assuming this is a woman and that might be my detriment.
I believe so.
As women, we always want to make people feel comfortable, even when we're uncomfortable. And honestly, I think saying thank you for your honesty was maybe not the right approach because it's inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate for someone who you're married, they know you're married, to say, I'm in love with you. I want to, you know. That's a boundary. That's so I think maybe starting with the thank you was maybe giving the person too much credit. Like,
really?
Okay, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm married. This is inappropriate. We're coworkers and we need to still work together. Can you still work with me knowing that that's not going to happen? Okay. I don't know. This is also a person who's never had a real job. I've never had a corporate job. So honestly, I don't know. This might not be my wheelhouse. Well, but I do think she should tell the husband. Why? I don't think we should keep anything from them. It's not like you didn't cheat or anything. Just saying, you know what happened today? This. Just it would clear you of any weird feelings you're having.
That's true.
Now, in the last 12 years, has anyone professed their love for you?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you besides me?
Exactly. No one. Has anybody been out here trying to talk to you?
No. A couple of women have flirted with me, but nothing like...
Excuse me? Excuse me? Who are these people?
Uh-oh.
This is why I can't have you out here unattended.
But I think knowing that I'm faithful to you, so it's safe. Do you know what I mean?
The flirtation. Yes,
there's
it is.
There's always going to be the other people. I mean...
I don't know. I'm pretty like
the thoughts,
sexless.
The bots.
Yeah.
Thoughts and bots. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sexless. So I don't think they're, I don't give people, there's no sense of an opening with me in terms of even flirting. Yeah. Even though I used to be, I was a flirtaholic in my youth. And now, get away from me. But you said you think.
Tell the husband. Oh, for sure. I think that's one of the, I mean, you see these in dramas all the time where like someone like kisses either the wife or the husband in the couple.
Yeah.
And it's always a heterosexual couple, right? And then that person keeps it a secret and then it somehow comes out later.
Right.
And it's like, well, if it wasn't a big deal, why didn't you tell me?
Yep.
I think that stuff should always be like, hey, this guy at work said he was into me. Obviously, I said, you know,
right,
fuck off. Or thank you, and then fuck off.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let you know.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't have to be as
plain
spoken as I just said it, but, you know.
Yeah, because what's the opposite? Not telling him why. Why aren't you telling him? Is there something you're not telling us, hon? Are you into it? Are you considering it?
But I think, you know, I guess my first impulse is not to not tell him as much as I guess I have a follow-up question, which is what kind of person is your husband? Because there are people whose partners are insecure.
Yes.
People whose partners, you know, don't like it and then might spin them out. And so that's why. So it's like if you think he can like not necessarily laugh with you, but understand like this is weird and that's all it was. Right. And not be like, well, what did you say? And
but how that's
did you
managing.
Say and how did you whatever?
That's managing their feelings.
The partner, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing to do.
Well, you don't want your husband to be scared or sad.
Yeah, but like you don't want them to be
insecure. Also, that's on him.
That's not your thing. If your spouse or partner or whatever is that insecure that they can't hear that, that's their deal.
Okay. Well, then I'm gonna flip to my next thing.
Fair.
I am curious when you say kind of how to manage this going forward. Because you live in different states, because you know you haven't worked with this person
physically.
Yeah, in physical proximity. What was the dynamic that would create a love connection?
Wondering that myself.
Right.
Is there something we're not being told?
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Just because, again, if y'all worked in person where, you know, you get into chit chats and do a little thing or whatever.
Your little heads are both down at the same time, snuggled up under those files.
You've never had a job.
Never.
Jackie snuggled up under files. She's like, what's in an office?
Files. Yeah. I think there's a cabinet and they keep papers in it.
There's a room just full of pens.
Yeah.
You're in the pen room and your hands touch.
Yes. A slight brush of the hands in the pen room.
But because that isn't the dynamic where, you know, you can get to know somebody a little better personally than you can online. Sort of what has your interaction with this person been? Because I think that will also determine, as you said, you know, kind of, because also not just that, you said you had a feeling this person was into you.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there was also some sort of vibe.
Was there some side chat going on in the Zoom?
This is what I'm talking about.
Well, we don't know. What I was imagining, by the way, was that, like, you know, the guy has a blurred out background on Zoom in these meetings and stuff. But if you'd unblur it, it would just be pictures of her that he printed out over the wall. Like, I don't necessarily.
Superimposed her head on a wedding photo with him and children. They mixed their DNA and made children.
And written in blood is his first name with her last name.
Yeah,
like, all over.
Oh,
like he's practicing it. Mm-hmm. In his notebook. But
were you gonna say though?
I'm just saying that maybe she just felt the vibe but didn't encourage it.
No, I'm not implying she encouraged any vibe as much as I'm trying to get a sense of what their work dynamic is, as it relates to the ability to continue to work together moving forward.
Yes.
You know, like, is this somebody you have to call up a lot and chit chat and...
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying? Like, is, you know, yeah, because, again, because I would think on its face, being not in the same place, it would be easy, as she said, to kind of just, you know, keep it pushing.
Right.
But is something, like, is the way y'all work together something that requires it to be a little more...
Close.
A little more interaction.
Yeah. Because my initial instinct was pretend it never happened in terms of how you interact with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. You know, but I really did like your suggestion, which was like, I'm married. This is never going to happen. And end it there. Like, I do like think that, like, oh, thank you. I get the empathy that the writer is feeling, where it's like, oh, it took a lot for this person to say this. Maybe it didn't. Maybe the guy's just a creep.
I feel like some things shouldn't be said.
Yes. Yeah, and that you're right about that. I think it was totally inappropriate.
Yeah. I mean, especially when she's like, I have been married and with my partner for 13 years.
This right.
Like, okay, why? Yeah, it's like, it'd be different if...
That'd be like if I called y'all up and I said, Naomi, I want you to leave Andy for me. I'm feeling it and this is it for me. You'd be like, what?
Girl. I'd be like, girl, hush.
Read those DMs later.
But yeah, I think it's like, I think it's that. And I think like... And again, you're right. This is managing. This is like, you know, and this is maybe because I'm a bit of a pessimist or I watch too much Lifetime. Because, I also have a podcast on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I am worried about this man becoming an asshole now that he's been rejected.
Yep.
And that is something to me that is like my first impulse is that if she tries to just do what you're saying, which is like pretend it never happened, continue to be professional, he's going to do
stuff. His ego is now bruised. His fragile, fragile little baby male ego.
Well, what about this then? Hire a hitman to kill the guy.
Okay, wow.
He's just going to be a problem in the future.
He's a problem.
Let's just nip the bud.
Yeah.
What is it?
Nip it in the bud. He's a loose end.
Let's just nip the bud in the front. That's the phrase, right?
I feel like I don't know the market, but I feel like a hitman would be very expensive.
Absolutely.
Just a thought. Especially absolutely. a thorough clean job.
A clean job that won't come back to you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's worth that. Maybe well, HR like could get involved. Is there a record of all of these feelings and things? I don't know. Again, never had a job. How does it work? we file a complaint.
Yeah. You go to the water cooler and you file a complaint with the water cooler.
You speak to the water cooler and you tell it that you're unhappy. And
Then
you make copies of your ass on the copier.
Yeah, you know that's
right. Yes. I know that much.
Yeah. So, okay. Maybe be a little more direct with this dude if you have to work with him a lot.
Yep. If you have to continue to engage.
If not, maybe you can do the kind of like pretend it didn't happen. If he gets any more aggressive, go straight to HR or something.
See, and I was going to say this actually. Right before you said that, I'm like, you might want to go to HR to have a record that this has happened.
Yes.
You don't have to
put
like,
it
he's
on
in trouble.
File, honey.
Get that on file, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Get it on file, honey.
Paper trails don't lie.
Exactly. If you go and you're like, hey, this was said to me, you know, he doesn't, like, I'm not trying to get him fired. I just need y'all to know.
This record, yes.
You want to do that because who knows? As we said, egos, you know, are delicate. And I think for me, what's pinging me is the intensity of he will leave it all behind.
Yeah.
For me, there's one thing to be like, I love you and I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Jackie. There's a drama there. There's a drama to that phraseology.
There is a drama. I'm so curious how that built up.
I know. I'm dying to know. I'm like, how did this person become?
Did he make all of that up in his head? Like.
Right, exactly.
Because it does depend on the person.
Because that's real, like, flavors of someone with, like, one of those, like, boards with red string.
Murder board energy. I mean, it's true, though. It can happen when somebody, especially, like, is, you know, lonely or socially unskilled, you know.
Yes.
When someone is, like, nice to them, you know, or just pay attention, suddenly it can make them feel like, oh, my God, this is real, right?
Yep.
And it's like...
Especially over a pandemic where we're isolated and confused and
Yep.
All of this stuff. And I agree with all the stuff if it wasn't this work thing. And that's the thing that I think going back again, Jackie, to like it was really inappropriate for that person to say that in the first place.
Yep.
And so that's what I keep going back to in my head, which is like, oh, yeah, that like at first I was like, oh, that seemed appropriate or the woman to say
the
that
response,
to him. Response. But then I'm like, oh, that's fucking weird.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's weird for anyone at any job to say that to someone else.
Yes.
Right. Okay, I think we've handled that one.
Yes.
We've got another one for you, Jackie.
Okay.
All right, this one comes to us. This is a voicemail, Naomi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Naomi, what is that? What is that number?
323-524-7839, baby.
Saving the number for my future needs.
Hi, Naomi and Angie. My name is Sam, and I'm 24 from Virginia, and I'm calling today to ask advice on whether or not I should break up an engagement. So, long story short, my first and only ever boyfriend and I dated for 3 years, and we were really serious, but he dumped me 100% out of the blue in December of 2020. Take my word when I say he turned out to be a really bad guy. So, after he dumped me, I immediately began therapy, never spoke to him or anyone from his life ever again. Shout out to me. But this was easier to do because we had met online, so no mutual friends really. And I was 24. All of his friends were like 27 or older. But the thing is, his best friend has since proposed to his girlfriend, and I know that he cheated on her. My boyfriend would tell me about how he had sex with an older woman at his work. They worked together, but my boyfriend even saw full nudes of this woman, so I feel like I have secondhand proof. But even worse than that, I went out with them and a female coworker of theirs thinking everything was copacetic, but they made out and danced together, and he was begging to go home with her right in front of my face. I never felt like I could say anything. And I was really afraid of what my boyfriend would do, but he always told me it was out of his control. Major red flag. I know this in hindsight. Yikes. But we always went on double dates with them. She was really nice. I just, like, never felt comfortable enough telling her because of our age difference. But now that I saw online that they got engaged and it's been guilting me since I got out of my relationship in the first place, I don't know. I just I saw the cheater out at a bar this weekend without his girlfriend, and now I can't stop thinking about it. And everyone I talk to tells me I should just do it, and it's not ruining her life. It's going to make it better, but I just can't help but worry that I'm going to look like a crazy ex, and she'll stay with him just because they've been together for so long. So anyways, any advice would be cherished. I love you all so, so much. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Juicy. So I, yes. So obviously I listened to a little bit of these, and I listened to the Should I Break Him an Engagement? And yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy one.
Nope. Yeah, yeah.
I do. But then I stopped listening after that.
Because I noticed, because, you know, the title, he'll do like a little quick title. Mm-hmm. It says, advice, break up an engagement. Not my engagement. Mm-hmm, it said an engagement. I said, I need to know more immediately. Mm-hmm. I could not wait.
I was like, in my head, I was like, well, just listening up to that, I'm like, well, obviously no, right? And then I'm like, hearing the rest of it, I'm like, I'm actually, again, like you were the first time, I'm stumped, Naomi.
Well, it's stumped. Just so hard because...
Right. I know. Exactly. My impulse, though, is...
To me, it's mind your business / this could be very helpful and really save somebody a lot of paperwork someday.
Uh-huh. Pain and paperwork, Eddie.
So it's a hard call. My advice is to put yourself in the shoes of the woman that you want to contact. Would you want to know or would you not want to know? Because there's two different people out there.
Well, I think it's partially that, do you want to know, do you not want to know, but also like, would you want to hear it from your fiance's friends, ex-former girlfriend?
Right.
That's the question.
Because will she even take it seriously coming from her?
Yeah. Exactly. Especially, you know, again, you haven't talked to your ex or any of these people in over a year. I also assume that is partially because it was not an amicable breakup. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we also don't know what version of the story he has told other people.
Yes.
Which, again, living your life, we don't care. We don't care what he said. Yes. But in terms of reaching out specifically to someone from his friend group, that does matter a little
100%.
Bit. 100%. And so it is, I think it's, I totally hear you and I feel you when you're like, I know this stuff about this person. And it feels gross to, you know it. And, you know, watch somebody be like, I'm in love. And it's like, girl, did you know he ain't shit?
Right.
You know, it's very hard. But I think it might be best not to.
Right.
I also think that, you know, again, coming back to my Lifetime movies, you know what a lot of people do in Lifetime movies is they will hire someone to take pictures of someone making out with someone else.
Uh-huh. I was going
to
suggest that. I was like, that's crazy to do. But like, if you really wanted to, you could hire a private eye to follow the
shit
back around.
Again, with these hiring, these outsourcing people. Damn, Ed, your budget is
high. We support the gig economy. Yes, okay, Jackie? And we say independent contractors need work.
Yes. Look, a private eye costs so much less than a hitman.
That's
so
true.
Always, early on, you want to intervene with a private eye before you have to hire a murderer.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and just like anonymously mail some pictures or a video. Like if you see it happening if you said you ran into him and he was out, then you might be able to catch a little snap.
Yes. Or just anonymously send them the link to this episode.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And y'all would get another download from it, which would be great. And you know she'd send it to everybody she knew, so that would be another few.
Exactly. That would be helpful.
I think talking with Naomi about this and rationalizing it, everything is a case by case basis. You've cut this person out of your life. You've moved on. You want to help out, but at the same time, this is old news for you. You have to leave this energy.
That's
it's not
true.
Worth getting reinvolved and dragging into it. Unfortunately, she's going to find out.
She is. She's going to find
out.
She
might know already. Again, that's the thing too. She might already know. So I think you just have to try to let it release it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this case.
Yes.
Or
specifically this case.
Make a fake Instagram and send the pictures from that and then delete the account.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the other option. Exactly. I think it's like, and I think, you know, I just don't think it's your place and you have to just let go of the guilt as best you can.
Right. Right.
Totes.
Because it's not your guilt. You didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, but also it's interesting when you say, when she said, Sam was like, well, I always felt nervous about saying something because of the age difference. Because obviously she's a little bit older than our caller.
I mean, 3 years.
I know, 3-4 years. I'm like, girl, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Sisterhood is sisterhood.
Yes, yes.
You have to tell somebody when you've seen it, when you've seen it go wrong. But I definitely get that. I just think, I think it's gonna cause some drama too, which with you and your ex.
Yes.
Well, okay, here's a question. Have either of you been in either the caller's shoes or the woman's shoes? And what would you have wanted to do, or what did you do in either of those cases?
I always want to be told.
Okay.
After the shit I've seen in my life, I'd rather know.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, yeah.
And I would rather not tell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the one to tell. I don't want to be the one to tell because I think that I'm going to ruin a friendship that I have, because I think, one, there's the kill the messenger of it.
Yes,
you know?
Of course.
And then also, like, once I know and you know I know, if you choose to stay with that person, you and I are like, it's not going to be the same, right?
Yes.
Because I'm going to be the person who knows the truth. And I can even say, live your life. I don't care. But if I know it, it's going to be real bad.
Yes.
You know?
It's going to be awkward for sure.
Exactly. And I don't think the friendship can stay the same at that point. So I just feel like I would rather just be like, hey, they're going to find out when they find out.
Right. And they will.
Yeah.
He's obviously not being too slick about
it. He out here in these streets at the bar.
At the bar with the... Yeah, so don't worry. Justice will be served.
I just want everyone to know I had to go get Mabel. She was standing on the back of the couch whimpering.
I didn't hear it. I couldn't hear her.
Somehow she got up there.
He says an eagle ear was good. He's a good father. Because, she was up there on the edge of the couch. And her little tiny ass cage up nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's like she's stuck. And she's like,
little girl.
You a dumb, dumb Maybelline. but she's still in remission from her cancer, sharing that lovely news.
Oh, yay.
Jackie, did anyone ever tell you, like, about one of your, like, shitty exes?
I was warned a lot, and I ignored them all. Because I would say, hey, I was told this, and he'd go, she's crazy.
Yep.
Or she's jealous.
That's what happens. That's what's exactly.
Exactly. And I
think that's what would
happen. And like, you know.
I think that's what would happen with this person.
Exactly.
Because she is the ex-boy. I think it'd be like, she's just trying
to
cause.
She's trying to meddle in our shit and fuck with us. Yeah, exactly.
Our love's too pure, babe.
Yeah.
She's trying to, like, you know, piss in it.
Ew.
Well, I'm putting myself in the space of this.
So you're, that guy. Yeah, that guy's not very bright.
Gen Xers love to talk about piss.
This one loves piss. It's his favorite specific. Any and all times, it is about piss.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know for next time. I'll come in hot with the piss talk.
It's definitely
I'm pregnant.
Like,
I could talk about pee all day.
If like someone follows me on Twitter because of Naomi, the minute I like tweet a piss joke, they're out.
That's
I know. I'm always like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah.
We're very different.
A lot of piss jokes on this feed. Oh my God.
Jackie.
We've covered a lot.
Jackie, this was a dang delight.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Do y'all always get this deep?
If we can.
I figured it was all going to be jokes. I thought we were going to talk about your damn chroma cleanse that you and Ben did. I thought we were going to talk about dogs. Oh, my goodness.
No, honey. No. That's not what we do.
Well, that's good.
I ain't spending my time trying to hear about nonsense. We got to get in there.
I'm glad we did.
I'm going to go to bed. Yes. Also, I'm going to go to bed, Jackie.
Yes, we need naps.
I'm like very much like a pregnant woman.
Yes.
You know, in that I need a lot of naps and I eat for two.
Yep.
So I really just respect and relate to your journey. Thank you so much for being on the show. You are the best in the game, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.